Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verses 38 through 44. As I think about this message, I think about what Jesus is about to do, how he is about to heal somebody by just basically brushing up against her hand. He has all power to heal. And as we talked this morning in Sunday school about the church at Pergamos that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 2, and how that city served six different gods, and one was the God of healing, but not the true living God, not the great physician, but they served in a false God of healing. This morning in Luke chapter 4, we're going to look at the true physician, the great power of the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 38 to 44, the Bible says, "And he, Jesus, arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him, and came unto him, and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee." Father, again, we do thank you for this morning. Father, we do ask that you'd bless in a very special way. Give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, and Lord, give us a will that desires to accomplish your will, what you speak to our hearts about today. Help us, Lord, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. For it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. The power of Christ. Jesus is here in Galilee, or he's here in Simon's house, and he has just come from the synagogue from teaching and healing others as well. There was a man in the synagogue that had a demon himself, and Jesus rebuked the demon out of the man as he did. Jesus would speak the word. Jesus sometimes would touch a person. Sometimes he would tell someone to go do something, and when they did it, they were healed by faith. But Jesus never tormented the people in order to cleanse them or heal them. But as we learned in Sunday school this morning, when serving false gods and believing in false teachings, it causes harm to people. It causes people to torture themselves. As the gods of Pergamos, the priests and other things, they would torture people in order to cast out demons. They had a brazen altar in the shape of a bull that they would put people in light of fire, trying to cast out demons from them. And the martyr that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 2, Antipas, was the bishop at Pergamos, and he was martyred for his faith. He was martyred for his stand upon one true living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and not many gods as the world worships. And he died that death. It is said by tradition that he was put into that brazen altar of the bull-shaped animal and was burned alive. What I'm saying is that the devil torments. The devil torments. My mind is, I'm thinking torture, but I want to say torment. The devil torments people, and he uses fear. You understand, God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. If you're being plagued and tortured in your mind, you're being spiritually tortured, that is not of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is of the devil. He's all about tormenting. He's all about causing confusion. He is the little g god of confusion. He's the one that wants to be like the Most High but cannot be like the Most High. He is the one that wants to have all power, but he does not have all power. He wants to be the ruler of all, but he cannot be the ruler of all. His destiny is already determined. He will spend eternity in the lake of fire. His time is running out upon this earth. But this morning, I don't want to talk about the devil. I don't want to talk about false religions. I want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. In these two verses, we see the power of Christ. After the worship service he had at the synagogue, Jesus went to the house of Peter, and Peter's mother-in-law had become sick with a fever and was so helpless that she could not ask for help herself. Simon's wife asked Jesus, besought Jesus to help their mother, to help the mother-in-law, and Jesus healed her. In James chapter 5, verse 15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. As they were there in the presence of Christ, asking him to help their mother, we go to God in prayer on the behalf of others. He's still the God of healing. He still can heal people from their sicknesses. Have you ever asked God to even heal someone who just maybe has a migraine headache? Maybe just has the flu? I mean, sometimes people think, you know, well, I'll pray for someone, you know, it's got cancer, they're on their deathbed. But even just the common cold, have you ever thought to, Lord, would you help me to feel better? And the Lord answers. The Lord cares. The Lord has power not only to cast out demons as he had just done in the synagogue, but he has the power to heal someone who just has a great fever, it says. There's been many times in my life and my wife's life as well, raising children, that we've prayed of. We've had children to have 105, 106, 107 temperature. And we have prayed over them and asked the Lord, give us wisdom, you know, help us to know what to do. And the Lord is very gracious and the Lord has helped. I mean, again, when do you not pray for God's help? When do you not beseech God for his help? There should never be a time where you don't ask God for his help. And they're asking for Jesus' help on the behalf of Simon's mother-in-law because she has a great fever. Look at Luke chapter 11, if you would, and verse number 5. A person's greatest friend or friends are those that seek the Lord on their behalf, whether they ask for it or not. In Luke 11, verse 5 through 9, he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. Understand, it's nighttime. The family's in the bed. All the lights are out. Kitchen's been cleaned. Everything's been put up. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto thee, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. The fact that he keeps on knocking, that he keeps on asking, he will not go away. And I say unto you, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. I want you to understand that as Simon was with Jesus in the synagogue, seeing someone else being helped, and even before that, seeing somebody else being helped, when he came into his home, he didn't think, oh, I don't want to bother the Lord. He's been busy today, you know, helping other people. I don't want to ask for his help. Because sometimes Christians have that mindset that God is so busy helping other people. My little problem is really nothing. I'm not going to bother God. And God is like, ask me. I can't help you if you don't ask me. And the Lord wants us to ask, never think that God is too busy for you. If he was too busy for you, then he would not have laid down his life on the cross of Calvary and died for your sins, because he would have been too busy. Because think about the God of heaven, keeping everything, keeping the earth rotating, keeping the stars in orbit, keeping everything going, because everything consists because of him. I mean, everything he does, he's not too busy. In fact, he wasn't too busy on the day of creation to give life to humans, to form man out of the dust of the ground, to breathe life into man so he would become a living soul, to have a relationship with him. God's never too busy for you. Sometimes, though, we find ourselves too busy for him. But we need to find ourselves always seeking him, having the mindset that, no, the Lord is there for me because he's walking with me. He cares about me. He cares about the little things, even if it's not cancer, even if it's just a mild fever. Lord, would you help this person to feel better? Lord, help me feel better. Again, he has power to do anything in your life. He has the power to rebuke the demons that may be bothering you. And yes, demons are still real today. They're not just for biblical times. They're not just for Old Testament, not just for the days that Christ was walking upon this earth. The devil is still alive and active. He, again, as we talked about this morning, he may not have temples set up for the various gods here in America, but the various gods, the false gods, are still worshipped in America in different ways. What I'm saying is, we have a place. And I know there are some, and I'll try not to stay on this rabbit trail, but I know there are some that they don't believe in church attendance. They believe in home church. They believe in some other, well, I can worship God on the lake. Yeah, you can. But when I read in the book of Acts, they were gathering together daily at the synagogue because they didn't have their own building. But then they went from house to house. They went to each person's house to fellowship. So God's given us a great thing. God has given us a place to be able to come and to worship and just to have the mindset, yes, I worshiped God before I came to church, but I get to come together with God's people and worship together in a place that has been designated, sanctified, set apart for the specific teaching and preaching of God's word and the worship of our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, as we can ask God for things, we need to be persistent at times. Here we see in verse 39 that Jesus stood over the mother-in-law and rebuked the fever. It left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto him. When Jesus does something in our life and helps us with something, it's not for us to go on our merry way and, okay, thanks, Lord. I'll call you next time I need you, as some people do. Now, when the Lord helps us, it is at that moment, and not just that moment, but it's at that moment, thank you, Lord, for helping me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for providing for me. What can I do for you? Because she rose up and ministered to the one who had just healed her, the one who had just rebuked the fever, the Lord Jesus Christ. She had a desire, a heart's desire. You know what? The Bible doesn't say, but maybe she wanted to go to the synagogue that day, but she was sick at home. Maybe she had heard Jesus is in the synagogue. Maybe she wanted to go and sit and listen to his teachings, be in his presence, and, oh, I'm sick. I sure hope I see him maybe next Sunday. I hope I see him, you know, not knowing he's going to come to her house. What I'm saying is, sometimes, you know what? Something interrupts our routine, and it's for a reason. Sometimes God has to slow us down to be able to get our attention. You know, back in 2012, 2 years after being in the ministry, I fell through the ceiling of the church, shattered my left heel, had to get several screws, plates. I still have a 3.5-inch screw in my heel to keep it there. My wife and I, we were just talking about this I think yesterday or 2 days ago, and just how, because we were talking about if you've ever heard about, liquid Band-Aid. It's like super glue. You put it on cuts, and she had cut her hand washing a glass that had broken. It sliced her hand, and honestly, she should have went and probably got a stitch or two. But I had this liquid skin, and I'm like, I'll fix you up. And I put the liquid skin on one cut that she had, but on the other cut, I put the liquid skin on the knuckle cut she had, and then on the back of her hand she had a cut, and I just put butterfly Band-Aids on that. It all healed up, but the one with liquid skin, you can barely see the scar. I mean, it healed it up really good, kept it together. She didn't have to get stitches. So you think about, sometimes the Lord will give you wisdom. Sometimes he allows things to slow you down. And as we were talking about the liquid skin, she was telling me, because I didn't know this, that they had used liquid bone in my foot because there were some fragments that they couldn't find in my body. I mean, the heel had fragmented and shattered, and they were trying to piece it back together and super glue it together with liquid bone and stuff. And it's an amazing thing, but I think about falling through the ceiling. It was between services, between the morning service and the evening service. And guess what? I can't preach the evening service. In fact, I would not be back at church for 5 weeks. And I'd have to find somebody else to fill in for me. But it was in those 5 weeks that I was able to spend a lot of quality time with the Lord. Sometimes the Lord has to slow us down, because when you read in scriptures, the Lord had to slow Paul down and put him in prison so he could write some letters, because he was a busy man. He was busy visiting churches, busy starting churches. I mean, just everything he did, traveling and all that. And God had to slow him down because, you know what? God had some things for him to write down. So when you find yourself, when you find maybe your normal routine interrupted by sickness or something else, let's not be quick to get mad at God and quick to say, God, why are you letting this happen? But Lord, okay, what is it? What do you have for me? What do you want me to do? Because again, God should still be the Lord of your life. I mean, he should still be in charge of your life. You should still be, as a servant, though we are his friends, we should still be as a servant that says, Lord, what would you have me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to learn? Jesus rebuked the fever with the authority of his word. Again, he arose out of the synagogue. He entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. He rebuked the fever by his word. Again, many of his healings, he either rebuked the sickness, he either touched the leper that nobody else would touch and he was cleansed, or he spoke the word, or he would put, spit. The Lord would spit in someone's face and tell them to, and they would receive sight. Another time he made mud out of his own spittle, put it on someone's eyes, okay, go wash your face. I mean, parents, how many parents in here have ever given your child a spit bath? I call it a spit bath because, right, the parent licks their finger and tries to get the smudge off the child's face, and the child's like, oh, don't do that, right? Some of you are looking like, what? Others are like, yeah, because I do that, right? Others, because, if you're out in the public and you're like, you can't have macaroni cheese on your cheeks, get over here. And they're like, no, right? Imagine the Lord spitting in your face. Or spitting on the ground, making mud, putting it on your face. But you know what? The Lord knows exactly what we need. And as each of those people by faith would either go and wash their face, wash the mud off their eyes, or whatever the Lord said when the Lord was speaking to the 10 lepers who came and besought him to be healed. And he simply said, go show yourself to the priest. He didn't rebuke the leprosy. He didn't touch them. He just said, okay, go show yourself to the priests. And they all 10 turned around and started headed into the city. And one of them, they all knew, they all were healed, but one, after he noticed he was healed, he went back to the Lord, fell on his face and worshiped. You can say, well, the other nine were disobedient. No, they were obedient. They were going to show themselves. They saw they were cleansed, but the one that came back and worshiped the Lord was a Samaritan, the Bible tells us. He came back because he's like, wow, the Lord even cares about me, a Samaritan who the Jews discredit and don't like and will not even walk through my city. They will go around my city, even if it's a day's extra journey, just not to get the dust of my city on their feet. Because the power of Christ is not just for a select few. It's for all that will come to him by faith. And sometimes, as in Simon's mother-in-law's case, and as in the friend of the four men who dropped their friend in the front of Jesus through the tiling of the roof that could not on their own come, yet there were some good friends. If you want to be a good friend to somebody, pray for them. Pray on their behalf. Lift up their names to the Lord in heaven who can answer the prayer and turn their heart and heal them and strengthen their faith and can do great wonders in their life. Because you understand, sometimes people are so gripped with anxiety. They're challenged in their life spiritually. They can't even bring themselves to pray, though they want to, yet they can't. And it's good to know that they have somebody on their side who's not going to come and condemn them, like Job's friends came and condemned him because of what was going on in his life, saying, well, you must have committed some sin. No, we need friends that will just come alongside and even be that friend that, you know what? I know things are happening in their life. I don't know why, but the Lord knows. And I'm just going to pray on their behalf and ask the Lord to deliver them and to help them. Still believe in the power of prayer. Still believe that God wants to hear from you. Still believe that God will answer you and he'll answer by his word. Now, Jesus has all power over all evilness, all sickness, and he was able to heal Peter's mother-in-law instantly. In verse 24 of Luke chapter 8, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was no calm. I mean, he can rebuke the storms. He can rebuke the storms in your life. He does it with the word. Again, it's the number one thing your adversary wants to keep you from. I don't care what your age is this morning. I don't care what level you're on in your spiritual walk with the Lord. It is what the devil wants to keep out of your hand, out before your eyes and out of your mind. He doesn't want you meditating on this. He doesn't want you going to the medicine cabinet of God's word and getting what you need. Because everything is in here. I'm so tired of counseling God's people, not saying you, just in general, because I've counseled people, and telling them, hey, let's get into the word. I need something better than that. What's better than the truth of God's word? What's better than God himself that has the answer, right? Peter didn't go to one of the physicians in the town. He had the great physician in his house. He, Lord, will you help her? Well, I don't know what the words that Peter said. It just says they besought him that he would heal her, and he rebuked the fever by his word. And there was immediate, instant recovery. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Immediately after Jesus' rebuke, the fever left her. Not days of recovery, but instantly her health. And listen, I know sometimes when we look at the miracles of Jesus and it was instant. And then we got the devil right there. Yeah, well, you've been praying for that for a long time and nothing's changed. Do you believe that God is right in everything he does and that his timing is perfect? When Jesus was walking upon this earth, he was manifesting himself to the people that he was God. and all the miracles he instantly did, raising the dead, cleansing the leper, healing the blind, the lame, all of that for the people to know that this is God, this is the Messiah. I mean, that's why Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said, we know that you're from God, because no man can do these things except God be with him. But God still heals. God still answers prayer. Why couldn't Jesus do many mighty miracles in his hometown of Nazareth? Bible records he only did a couple because of their unbelief. They reasoned among themselves, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this his brothers and sisters here that we've seen grow up in this town and he claims to be God? I mean, they saw the miracle, but yet they still rejected him because of their reasoning among themselves. Stop reasoning among yourself who God is and what God will do and why God hasn't done it, and just walk by faith and believe that God is in control and that God will answer your prayer. He will help you, but we have to do our part, and that is to believe and to live by faith and just be patient and wait until God does do what we've asked him to do, what we've asked for prayer about. In Psalm 116, verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? For the love, in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. You understand that God has bestowed so many benefits towards us, and the number one benefit is he died for our sins. If he has redeemed us, he no doubt will help us. You look at verse 40 through 41, we see just what's the purpose of Jesus' miracle besides healing, besides showing that he's God. Now, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. Look, the demons were crying out, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. They knew who he was. But he doesn't want the demons pronouncing his name. He doesn't want the demons glorifying him by saying, you know, thou art the Son of God. He wants his people to do that. Those whose lives have been changed, he wants you, he wants me to worship him and proclaim his name, proclaim his goodness, proclaim what he's done for you. If you're not having your answers prayer or your prayers answered, if you're not seemingly getting help from God in your life, it's not his fault. I've learned that the hard way. It's not God's fault. It's always been my fault. When I find my place, I find me in a place not believing, complaining. You see no complaining here. Again, when God allows something in our life, it is to get our attention. And then when he corrects it, it is to get our service. It's to turn us back to him. Not saying that Peter's mother-in-law, you know, needed to turn back, but when you look at her life, I mean, she immediately served him because he touched her life. Has your life been touched by Christ at all? That he deserves our faithful service. He deserves our devotion. He deserves for us to truly, with all of our heart, believe, to trust him, to rely upon him without any doubt. Without any doubt. Jesus performs this miracle, no doubt, to provide relief. When the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Not one of them did he not lay his hands on and heal, but every one of them that came to him wanting healing, he touched them and healed them. He provided relief, but you understand he does provide physical relief. I believe that our God in heaven still physically heals today. Sometimes he chooses not to. because the death of a saint is precious in the eyes of the Lord. We think, just like Mary and Martha. Remember Mary and Martha, they come to Jesus, Lord, if you would have been here, our brother hadn't have died. Lazarus wouldn't have died. If you would have been here, we know that you would have healed him. But Jesus allowed him to die, remember? Because word was sent to Jesus. He heard that Lazarus was sick. He was nigh unto death. He's on his deathbed. And the Lord stayed where he was at 3 more days. How could Jesus do that? Mary and Martha, Lazarus whom he loved, he knows he's sick, he knows he's on his deathbed, but he stays 3 days where he's at. And then after 3 days, he tells his disciples, let's go. We're going to go see Lazarus. And he gets there, wants to know where the tomb is, where is he laid, roll the stone away. Sometimes God has to allow death to happen. And I say death to happen, something in your life to die. It may not be physical death, but something in your life has to die. You have to get to a place where you are desperate and you really need the Lord. You really, because Mary and Martha, they said, Lord, if you would have been here. Right? And he has a conversation with Mary, I am the resurrection. Though he were dead, yet he shall live. And when he asked for the stone to be rolled away, they're like, oh, Lord, he's decomposing. He stinketh by now, Lord. I mean, let's not do that. And the Lord said, did not I say to you, I am the resurrection? Roll the stone away. Sometimes God will not do what we're asking him to do until we do what he's told us to do. He did not call Lazarus out of the grave until the stone was rolled away. And when the stone was rolled away, the Bible records that Jesus said a prayer. He lifted his eyes up to heaven. He said a prayer to the Father and said, basically said, I'm saying all this not for your sake, Lord, but for their sake. And he looks at the tomb and says, Lazarus, come forth. I don't know about you, but if I was in heaven and I was called back here, I would not be happy. But no, Lazarus wasn't in heaven because Jesus had not died yet. He was in that place called paradise, Abraham's bosom. But understand, he's in a resting place. He's okay. But you know what? Lazarus, come forth. The Bible says he came forth. When was the last time you heard God calling your name? Come forth. Come spend some time with me. Come walk with me. Listen to what I'm telling you to do. Obey what I'm telling you to do so you'll be blessed and you'll find the answer you're looking for. Sometimes we put ourselves in a dark place and we close the door and we say, God, why aren't you helping me? God, where are you? And we've put our place, we've put ourselves there. We've caused the door to be closed. Not because God closed it, because we closed it. By not obeying, by not believing. But God does. He cares deeply about his people and he wants to bring relief. There's somebody I think about right now that desperately needs the relief of God in their life. They're struggling. They're spiritually struggling. Nobody in here. And they desperately need the relief of God. But it's going to take them going to God, hearing that voice, hearing that soft, still voice that says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me so that you can find rest unto your soul. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 says, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The miracles He did to bring true relief, to bring physical relief, but also to prove his authority. Colossians 1:13 reminds us, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In fact, delivered us from the power of darkness. Jesus shows his power over the forces of darkness by rebuking sickness, by rebuking demon possession, by rebuking leprosy, and rebuking blindness and the lame legs that many would have. It was to prove his authority. Many, when they saw it, believed on him as the Messiah because they knew this is not an ordinary man. Remember the disciples in the boat, after they said, "Lord, carest thou not that we perish?" And Jesus stood up. He said, "Oh, ye have little faith." And he rebuked the wind and he rebuked the sea. And as soon as it became still and calm, instantly, the Bible says they all fell at his feet and said, "What manner of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." That's the problem. The problem is in many people's thinking. What manner of man is Jesus? He's not a man. He took on the form of man. I believe he was 100% man at the same time he was 100% God. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But listen, he's not an ordinary man. There's one mediator between God and man, and that's between God and men. That's the man, Christ Jesus. Obviously, he's the manifestation of God's love. He is the lamb sacrificed from the foundation of the world, but he's God. You know why I don't like going to doctors? Especially the ones here in Wisconsin. The ones here in Michigan, they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. And I can say that because I've been to two different heart doctors that don't have a clue. You know what? I know someone who does. Let's not treat God like the doctors of this world who are practicing physicians that don't know it all. You realize when I had several of my children, several of my children had to have kidney surgery at very young ages, where one was 4 because we didn't know about until he started having issues, but the others were, you know, up to 1 year old that they had these surgeries. And me being the father, because my wife could not do it, had to carry them back to the operating room and hold them while they put the mask up to their face and knock them out. As a parent, you know, that's kind of heart-wrenching. You know they're there to get help. At the same time, you're putting them in someone else's arms to take care of them. And every time, because it was the same surgeon every time. Once we had a different surgeon, but then the original surgeon had to go in and correct the mess up. Every time I would pray for this surgeon, "Lord, please guide his hands." I mean, I know he's done some studying. You've helped him to learn what he has learned, but Lord, he can't do it unless you guide his hands, and that's my baby. And every surgeon was successful. I had the privilege, and I'm not boasting about it or anything, but I had the privilege of praying with him. Personally, I think my wife and I did. I forget which child it was. But he came into the room before the surgery, and we just, or maybe it was after. But anyway, just asked, "Can we pray with you?" And he's a Catholic. I mean, he's like, "Yeah." And we prayed, and we thanked the Lord for, you know, his ability to operate on people and all the studying he did. But Lord, thank you that you're the great physician that gives that wisdom and all of that. And we got done. He looked at us and said, "You know what? Thank you. No one's ever prayed like that." And he knew it's not him. He has knowledge of God, and I hope that he's put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We witnessed to him all those different occasions we could. Even the last time, we wrote him a letter, gave it to him. I hope and pray What I'm saying is, we have a God in heaven who has all power. Don't find yourself in a place where you're sitting in the dark with the door closed, thinking God cannot, will not help you, when God is at the door knocking. Can I come in? Could you read the book of Revelation? It talks about Jesus at the door knocking. He's not knocking in Revelation. He's not knocking at someone's heart for salvation. He's knocking at the church. He's knocking for his people, let me back in. Continue to trust the power of Christ and his ability to accomplish great things in your life. Don't give up on prayer. Don't give up on a miracle-working God who does the impossible.